Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 29th of April. Sammy's not here, but we have another Sam. We've got, I've had a good half hour interview with FTS member Sam Cassidy. Interesting one. I wanted to speak to Sam because Sam has experienced things in his life that most of us won't experience. And obviously the call will explain all that. So it was one I really wanted to, and I hope you guys get something from it, just in the grand scheme of where things should be prioritised in life. And saying that, and I do say it to Sam on the call, unfortunately our daughter Jodie's been taken back in hospital this morning, so the high of coming out yesterday hasn't lasted 24 hours, and by all accounts things have got a little bit worse. And everything else really pales into insignificance. I spent yesterday having a row, for example, with a guy when the ONS figures come out. And the extra deaths, in effect, from the average, we've got a number of excess deaths, which is higher. And it would be reasonable to assume that they're to do with COVID-19. Once you take out all the flus and cancer and things, this excess death number, it would be reasonable to assume in this time that they're down to COVID-19. And this guy was trying to tell me that it's a lot of it's suicide. And I don't doubt that there's massive mental issues going on at the minute. And Sam covers some mental health in our talk. But once again, I asked the guy, where's the evidence for that? You know, because if that's a serious thing, if people are committing suicide left, right and centre, then you do have to look at what's going on. But of course, there was no evidence. It was just him pointing me to an article in a newspaper that said mental health is up, issues are up. I'm sure they are. I'm sure this is very difficult for people. But when you listen to Sam's story, it becomes a bit relevant. And I'll talk a bit about Jack. And obviously, we're having our own thing. And my view is you never know what's going on in anybody's life. When you're dishing out a load of old nonsense. So I think we'll go straight into Sam. So they'll move into Sam's recording, and I'll do that bit, and then I will do the stat and book and everything else at the end. But coming up now is me having half hour with Sam earlier, and I hope that you enjoy that. Right, morning all. We've got Sam Cassidy with us this morning. Sam's been an FTS member for, probably 10 years, I'm going to say. In his own admission, he's been to every seminar that we held, and hasn't done anything with it. Now, that sounds on reflection when you say it that he hasn't bothered, but Sam has got an unusual story, I would say. Has been through numerous different problems. So it's easy for me to sort of say, oh, he hasn't done anything with it. Having got to know him and know his story, and this is going to be a good one for me because I think things like this are so important. Sam has gone through the experience of losing children. He battles OCD. So when you actually look at gambling in a whole, compared to things like that going on in your life, and I quite often talk about not knowing what's going on in other people's houses, actually gambling falls into a very, very minuscule element of importance to anything. So firstly, morning Sam.
Morning mate, how are we?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks ever so much for coming on.
Not a problem.
I am going to take the piss out the accent, you know that.
Crack on. Honest to God, it's yeah, you know, you've got to have a bit of identity, haven't you, you know?
Yeah. And obviously you sent me an email and you said you're opening line. You're happy to get some stick for being that person who's been to the seminar.
I should be the poster boy for FTS. I should be there, standing there with the keys to my big mansion, standing in front of my Aston Martin, you know, going, oh, man, look what I did over the last 10 years. I'm rich for the rest of my life. And I've just bought me new cruise ship in the Bahamas called FTS, but unfortunately not me, no.
And obviously, as I've just said, you've got your reasons, and we'll come into that in a minute. It is one of those things where I would have judged you. I would definitely have said, if I didn't know you and hadn't got to know you over those years, this guy's just an absolute waste of time. But you suffer from OCD.
Now. Yes, mate, yeah.
I can relate to that because I have got, maybe not to the degree you've got it, but I have got elements of OCD in my life. Just last night, for example, I was doing a webinar with some guys, and I was showing them how to do some odds for a Segunda game. And my sheet that I opened up, it's just a, in effect, it's a calculator I've built. I just put numbers in and it churns out some odds. But I have to type the right names of the teams in on that sheet when I'm using it. I can't use it. It sort of opened up and it was saved from the last time I used it, which was Tottenham Burnley or something, because I was doing a Segunda game. I've got to put the names in, because to me, it's just not going to work if I haven't got the names in there. I can't have beans juice. If I have beans and egg on the same plate, I've got to have them either side. I can't have bean juice touching eggs. I have to sit with my back to a wall facing out of the room. I can't sit, if you have a table, I can't sit that side facing across the table to the wall. I have to walk in and I have to have something where I can see out. So I have got elements of that in me, but obviously you've got it. Let's hear about your experience of it and how it hinders you betting more than anything.
So I think you've got to have all your tin in your cupboard, and that's it. But actually, what it is you walk, whatever situation it is, if you, so like for me, I'll get a thought that comes into my head. Now, the thought could be do A or do B. Now, if I do A, the thought in my head says something bad will happen. Now, bad could mean a multitude of things. I'm just keeping it very, very simple. You know, something bad might happen. And if you do option B, well, it won't happen. Now, what that does to you psychologically and physically is it gives you a whole load of anxiety. So you know scientifically in your head that if I do A, the result won't happen, because scientifically that can't happen. You know, like I give you an example in that email, you know, walking down a street or a car park is an easy one. You drive into a big car park, you see probably most people go to the first available space, park in the first available space, or the space that's closest to the door, or you might want to park at the back of the car park so that no one dings your car. But for me, I'll go in and I'll see a space. I drive into that space. Now, what it'll be is in my head, it would be, let's relate it to a bet. So I'll drive in that and I'll go, that bet I placed before won't win if I stay in this spot. So the level of anxiety goes really high. So what you'll then do is you'll reverse out of the spot. You'll then find another spot.
Yeah.
That won't feel right. So the anxiety will come up again. So again, you're backing out of that spot. And I always laugh at myself in a way, because the guys in the security office must be laughing the tits off at me going, who is this lunatic in our car park? You know what I mean? But that's ultimately what OCD is. Now, for when you've got something that's going on in your life, so let's say, for instance, you know, the bets or work-related, you're fearful that something work-related could happen. You know, let's say you might lose your job today, you know, especially with what's going on today. Oh, I'm going to lose my job today if I don't, you know, go the long way to work today or go the short way to work today. And then that anxiety just builds up. And then over the years, that's just manifested itself in all various different things. And, you know, you mentioned there about, so Charlotte, my wife, she was pregnant with, we were pregnant with twins, identical twins. And we were told that identical twins are one of the most riskiest pregnancies you can have. So for me, every decision I made, and I'm talking whether I put my left sock on first before my right sock, it goes insane. Well, the girls, you know, we knew they were girls. The girls would be okay. Charlotte would be okay. And I knew again, scientifically, there is no correlation from that to that. Unfortunately, Charlotte's waters broke at 20 weeks and, you know, she had to deliver the girls and the girls didn't make it. So obviously that punting wise, that just didn't exist while we were going through that. You know what I mean? That just didn't exist.
And nor should it.
And then, you know, I said in the email, we lost another one. That was in June. We lost another one in the December. Then we were pregnant with Hope. And then again, but every decision is revolving around, is the pregnancy going to be okay? Is Charlotte going to be okay? Is Hope going to be okay? So it manifests itself in a lot of weird and wonderful ways. And one of the ways is, you know, I might open Betfair up and I'll go, right, okay, here we go. Click, you know, the macro on the sheet. And I'm like, right, okay, four bets today. And then I'll look at the bets and, you know, I'll go, if I place that bet today, well, then potentially X, Y, or Z is going to happen. And one of the skills is, so being strong enough to walk through the anxiety and go, no, I'm not living my life like this. I'm going to push through, and you deal with that bit of anxiety and you'll go to, right, okay, if that's done, then again, you'll do it and again, you'll do it. But you've only got so much mental strength. And then at the end of the day, you're absolutely battered.
Mm.
Mentally, you're exhausted because you've had to push through this thing every day, all day. Then ultimately, you know, I think it's probably about, I tend to call it my, you know, the way a woman has a monthly, I call it my monthly. There's around one day a month where I just curl up in a ball and I just let it kick me head in, so to speak, because it's too hard to push back and fight all the time. So one day a month, I just curl up, take a beating, get some good sleep, come back the next day, be like, right, okay, that's fine. That was me one day this month. Off we go again. But it can be, you know, it can be excruciatingly minute how bad it can get you. And it's funny, all of the things that I've gone through, you know, I still class myself as a lucky guy, you know, a lucky, lucky, lucky boy, you know, for a fabulous wife, fabulous family, fabulous daughter. And I still consider myself very, very lucky, even with the things that are going on. And or if I've just got to get over this one hurdle in my life, and also being 5 foot 5, which, you know, it's another touchy thing. But if that's all I've got to get over in my life, then, like I say, I'm a lucky boy. I'm a lucky boy, and I'll get there. I'll get there. And, you know, going through some CBT, cognitive therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy at the moment, which is helping, just so that you can organize your thoughts and how they affect your behaviors and breaking that cycle. So, mate, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. But what it allowed me to do is learn all of the things about mindset, bank management, staking. Mate, honest to God, I feel like I know everything there is to need. Not everything, sorry. I feel in such a place with that side of the mentality thing is unbelievable. Because I've had 10 years of listening to yourself and, you know, the other people.
It's actually moving that into an execution process, isn't it, of doing it.
Literally. Yeah. You know, you think about, like, and that's one of the things I wanted to say, you know, about where FTS is at the minute compared to where it was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. It's amazing the stuff that's there now. You know, we've got potential automation, the trading group from yourself. And I know that was meant to be us executing the trades, but the way it worked out, now you're doing that for us. So for someone like me, mate, that's a godsend. That's an absolute godsend. I can just learn while you're executing stuff. Mm.
So if you had automation as an example, so let's say we set you up football automation fully. So yeah. I said, right, Sam, is everything I do automated? Because I'm moving a lot of my stuff towards automation at the minute. We're looking at all sorts of it. Would that solve that for you, or would putting the bot on in the morning, and then if you came back and in the day it had a bad day, would that send you into a, oh, flipping heck, that's...
So one of the things that I'm very mindful of is that they're not, what's the word that I'm looking for? They're not, there's no correlation. But what that would allow me to do is on days where I'm feeling rubbish, I'd be able to say to Charlotte, can you go and press that button for me? You know, she hasn't got to log into Betfair. She hasn't got to go, what is pink lay or is pink back? What do you mean? What do you mean there's football in Belarus? Well, I didn't even know Belarus existed. So she could just go press that button. So, yeah, mate, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I have to say, I love you. You're an absolute diamond. You've been fantastic. But I love your wife. I do. That weekend in Lingfield, she was just great fun. She was absolute cracking entertainment. And I'm so happy that you went on and had Hope. And that all went well, and you've been sending Sam videos. I mean, I just forward them to her phone. I don't, but I'm just so, I mean, absolutely fantastic. I'm getting emotional now. I'm so pleased for both of you.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you. I mean, just on the back of hope and a positive mindset and stuff, and mental health issues don't define you and don't define your life and what happens after that. And I would hope that tragedy doesn't either. Now, so I look at Hope now and I see, like, so the girls, if the girls were still with us now, there's a very good chance that we might not have went back to the clinic for another round of IVF, and I'd hope. Now I see, when I look at Hope and I think about the girls and how tragic it was, and that'll stay with us for the rest of our lives, but we may never have met Hope. So that is the positive.
The positive, the silver lining, if you like, of
such a negative. And yeah. Mate, so that's where we're at. I think one of the biggest things about agreeing to do this, and I'm very open with anyone and I'll talk to anyone about anything, is like, I just hope that anyone who's having a tough time at the moment, it doesn't define you and it doesn't define your life and it doesn't define your future.
No, I agree. I mean, as we've discussed, my boy had CBT and didn't get on with it, with him. And he's still mega anxious about everything. You know, he's just started his job. He started in March, literally 2 weeks. Everybody's working from home.
Yeah.
So originally he was here because he was traveling into London from here. Yeah. He's got a house in Cambridge, but the journey was better from here. Okay. And he didn't want to be late. He wanted to be there. Then they said, you're working from home, and he was here. And watching him perform at home, it was just agonizing because it's quite quiet. He's brand new. He's never done anything.
He's got no one to lean on to help.
So sending him a lot of work, really. It was a little bit of research. So a lot of the time he was just sat and waiting for an email. Jack, can you do this? But instantly his thought was, I'm not doing anything. They're going to think I'm no good. They're not going to give me any work. They're not. And he's ringing his supervisor constantly, an email. Have you got anything? I said, Jack, they're not giving you anything because they are obviously dealing with this. And to be fair to you, you're just starting out. So they're not going to start handing you. You know, if you've got somebody in the office you're sat next to,
what you mean, yeah,
you can sit over your shoulder and say, right, do this. They're not in that situation. And it would put a massive strain on him and Sam being here. Just the two of them were clashing over it because he was back to how he was in his exams.
Yeah. What are like symptoms of that type of stuff is your doomsday everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everything just gets doomed. Oh God, they're gonna think I'm this, that, and the other. And mate, it takes, like I say, some days you might find this with Jack. Some days he's better than he is on other days, and a lot of that's probably just down to being mentally fatigued, where you just can't push back anymore.
No, that's right.
I just need a break. I'm gonna have a break. Do your worst. I'm gonna get some kip, and I'll see you in the morning for another round.
Yeah, I mean, once he realised it was long term, he went back to his house in Cambridge. I think he's happier having his girlfriend there. But the hardest thing with him, and I don't know whether you found this with yours, was getting the right treatment. Like you put in there, you waited months for CBT.
Oh God, yeah.
You then got CBT, and the therapist wasn't what you expected. We went through five or six rounds of that. You know, you're paying good money, and after three or four sessions, you know, I wasn't expecting instant improvement, but I try not to interfere. But I'd sit down with him after three or four sessions and say, "How do you think these are going?" And he'd just go, "I don't get it. I don't get them. They're not for me." And then, right, well, it's pointless carrying on. If you're going in thinking this ain't going to work, it's not going to work. So we need to are there. And the FTS people were absolutely fantastic. So many emailed in with people we could go and see. And eventually, I think he's miles better than he was. I mean, the meltdown after when he started work, but actually getting him through those 3 years, it was hell. Every day was absolute hell. Seeing your kids go through it, that was the hard bit for me, because I couldn't help him. So it ate me up at night time, because I was trying to be strong during the day. Like you say, I was trying to be positive during the day. Come on, you're going to be all right. And you're doing that all day long, not really getting anything back. And you go to bed absolutely knackered, worrying about it, didn't sleep. Then you get up and do it all again. That's exactly right.
Exactly. And that's where, as well, you know, like Charlotte's been brilliant for me, because, you know, I speak to Charlotte about it all, and Charlotte just knows, and I'll just give me like the little, you know, a little, is it that day type of thing? And it'd be like, yeah. So she just knows, you know, give me a hug, make me a brew, maybe get me a beer, you know, and just think you just like, and just leave me alone. And, you know, some days I might play on it a little bit so she doesn't.
But that's it. I mean, I'm very open, and we talked about that. It's great that you've come on. And I said to you, you know, I knew some of these things. What do you want to discuss? And I do it on the pod. I do it in emails, yeah, whatever, because it is for me a therapy of getting it out. And as I said to you earlier, one of the things for me was I just want to let people know, actually, it's not sitting here with hundreds of thousand pounds coming in from betting and I'm having a party every day. I'm a normal guy. What I do is really hard work. And I think some of the guys who I've walked through things over the last few weeks in webinars see the amount of work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And I occasionally have shit bad days. And the pod allows me, I am a rev up guy. You know, I rev up, say it and it's done. The pod allows me to do that. But it also allows me to let me know, like the Jody thing at the minute. Hang on a minute, I've got other issues here. Your spreadsheet or system doesn't fucking interest me at the minute. So rather than say that to people, I just say on the pod, actually, we're having a bit of trouble. And hopefully it dissuades them then from sending me a load of shit. And I don't mind people sending me stuff. And, it'll just go in a queue and I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah.
But that's part of why I do it. More my therapy to get it out of myself. Because exactly, you walk around with these things, they kill you.
And again, you talked about the social media side of things, loads of it. People just think that because they subscribe, etc., or because you're successful at what you do, yet you don't have, you don't have a life, B, you're available 24/7, and C, your life's perfect, and it's not the case. And I think that's in a nutshell, isn't it? Everyone has their own little issues and things going on.
So all that to one side, I mean, like, we can't put it to one side, but around that, what's your goals now? You are somebody who said to me, I'm going to do this. What are your goals? How, and I've said to you, privately before we came on, I'll help you whatever way. How would you see it going forward for you now on the punting side?
Yeah, so for me, like I say, for me, it's about learning to grind. So every day, so for instance, I've wrote goals down and stuff, and it's like, for me, every day, I need to just be logging on. I just need to be logging on and getting into that routine of just logging on. Checking, so the FDD, I'm going to go with one of the later draw systems. Just get into that routine of logging on, are there any bets, having a look. Same with Ultimate. I love the Poisson stuff, so one of the start of the days from the Poisson stuff, I'm going to have that. So I'm not going to go too big too early, and just literally get into that routine of they're the things that I do every day. There's the small, tiny things every day, the old, the great oak tree comes from an acorn and all that.
Yeah.
They're just short term, log on every day. Because, I mean, it's funny, I absolutely understand about the grind. Like I showed you when we were at Linkfield, those pitches, the competitions I was doing, the bodybuilding ones.
Yeah.
So I know about grinding every day to hit a goal. It's just that somewhere down the line, this just becomes too much for me. And do you know what that is? Ultimately what that is, and I think a lot of people might associate with this, it's fear of failure.
Yeah, I think in gambling, a lot of that is, I think, the phrase I use a lot is scarred. I think people have gone about it, a lot of them disagree, so wrong so often. They've been scarred by that, and it becomes, oh, not again, not another one. But they do then get scared to do it. And what you say, I mean, I've been doing some training webinars, and I've taken people right back. Forget, the bit I try and say a bit, forget me now. Go back to me in 2006-07 and take the baby steps I took then.
Absolutely, mate.
And do that now, and worry about this side of it and six figures in 10 years' time. I mean, I see people, and it drives me mad. I never enter it, and I think I see people talking about premium charge on Twitter. I see people having conversations about premium charge on Twitter who haven't made any money.
Yeah, got you, mate, yeah.
They haven't made, forget the 250 grand before it even kicks in lifetime profit. They're not making a bean, or they've won a fiver. And they're going, oh, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? Well, you're going to do nothing, mate, because you are never, ever going to get there.
Oh, it's thingy, mate. I'll send it to you on Twitter. It was a thing about why you're not progressing, and it had things like comparing yourself to others, not learning, dwelling on the past, being afraid of it. And it's like, And while one of the great things about where FTS is at the minute is the community on Twitter, you know, loads of people getting involved. And then someone might post something like a green screen, or I've done this today, or this analysis. And you sit there and you think, I should be at that level. I should be at that level. And it's like, no, just start.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Just start.
I mean, even going back, you know, the first one of these I did was Paul. And I think just doing the interview and the reaction to it, Paul's actually realised I've really not given myself a fair whack at it.
Yeah.
And we've gone back to the beginning in effect with him and said, you know, I can shortcut things for people now because I am further on and I've got new tools. You know, I could give you a Poisson sheet that does it all for you. Yeah. So you don't have to go and build one or look at one, or it literally plugs numbers in and it's done. I can provide that for people. But I had a load of learning to get to that level. And I don't think people should just jump straight there because they don't really understand then what they're doing and what's behind it and what they're looking for. It just becomes a sheet.
Absolutely. People say to me, because I've done the competitions, you know, on stage with my false tan on and all that, you know, 6% body fat and all like that. And people ask me questions like, oh, white potato or sweet potato? And I say to them, A, are you training at the gym? And B, are you tracking your food? Do you know what you're actually putting in your mouth week to week? So instead of going to that level of, oh, do I do this bean, that bean, this potato, that potato? Actually, are you actually at the start yet? Have you started your journey before you even get to these real intricate strategies for food? And yeah, mate, it's just baby steps in it.
And just to tell people, Sam turned up at Lingfield, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And Sam is 5'5", reasonable build guy. But he pulled out his phone and started showing me pictures. He looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, didn't he? I mean, I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
And like I said to you at the time, one of the reasons that I got into that stuff was about the daily grind of hitting a long-term goal.
But you did it in quite a short space of time, didn't you? It was like a ridiculous space of time. You went from a sort of normal build, paunch maybe, guy.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I put a lot of work in, but it was about that daily grind, you know, getting on the treadmill every day, getting me weights in, getting me food right. And it's so applicable to what you do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, I think anything in life, you know, that's one of my frustrations. You know, I used an analogy again last night. So I've got a guy who builds houses and roofs. I wouldn't expect after 5 hours of sitting listening to him to be able to go and build a house. But people think after 3 or 4 hours of talking to me, they can go and win six figures.
Oh, mate, honestly.
What drives me mad. That side of it drives me mad. And I'll just clarify, people, because there'll be people going, oh, premium charge, you said I won't get there. I want you to get there. And I want as many people as possible to get there. But worry about that bit when we're getting near to it. What most people need to do is start at the bottom first and actually look at the processes they're doing now. And I mean, Dave, who I'm doing some work with, he's sort of great thing. What's the first step you're going to take? You've got this goal of, let's say your goal is premium charge, but forgetting that for the minute, what's the first step you're going to take towards it? What's the very first thing you're going to do? And then what's the next step after that? And people don't think like that. They just look straight at the end prize.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Well, like just for the next 12 months, like you say, just log on. Just log on, get stuck in. The 1 to 3 years is just grow by, you know, adding systems. But I'm not looking to add anything for 12 months. Just log on and just have a look. But just on the back of the roof and thing, my dad's a builder. And I don't know the right end of a hammer. So I swear I'm adopted.
Yeah. I don't. I'm a get a man in. I mean, I am a... Just make a phone call, get someone in. Can't be doing with any of that. Sam does a lot of it, to be fair. Right, we'll move away from that. We've got to talk Scouse.
19 asterisks.
You're a good Scouse because you're an Everton Scouse. So let's say, how does somebody, where were you born? Were you born in Liverpool?
Yes, mate. So literally when there's a big game on at either ground, when a goal goes in, you could hear that from my door.
Right. So how did you end up on the good side of Merseyside as opposed to that other lot?
So Oh, mate. So yeah. So normal, you know, old school terrace streets by the grounds and that. And next door neighbours. I've got a son who's a year older than me, a year younger than me, and they're mad Evertonians. So I'm obviously out on the street playing football, want to be like me mates. But the caveat to this is my dad's a Liverpool fan. Yeah. My uncle, my dad's brother, is a mad Liverpool fan, travelled all around the place watching them. And they just let me be an Everton fan, crack on being an Everton fan. So I'm like, okay, cracking on. So one of the things about being a 38-year-old Everton fan is you're too young to remember the glory days in the mid-80s.
The Howard Kendall.
Oh, mate. So, but a football film for everyone, if you can get it, Howard's Way on Amazon Prime is brilliant. So I'm too young to be the glory days. I've lived through the absolute garbage that came since. You know, the last day relegation stuff, you know, getting saved on last day relegation.
That was Hans Sagers, wasn't it?
Yeah,
my mate Hans.
To God. It was like a penalty. Barry Horn scores a worldie, and then Graeme Stewart scores this weird block, tackle, stroke, shot that just creeps in. Yeah. Oh, mate, honest to God, he's never a bad word about Hans Sagers from an Everton fan. But like I was saying in that email, so chatting away to this therapist, and he's like, when was the first time that you kind of felt these emotions? So got this new kit one day. Everton had released this new kit. Get to this kit. First time I wore it. My granddad passed away that day. So in my head, I'm 11 or 12, and I'm thinking, because I wore the kit that day, that's why my granddad died. So I never wore the kit together again. So I would maybe wear the top with a different short or the shorts with a different top. So it's funny how that trauma back then did that. So not only have I had to live through the shite of Everton being and all my mates traveling around the world watching a successful team, but Everton have given me a mental illness that had lasted me my whole life. Thanks very much, Everton.
Yeah, lots of positives there. I thought I had it bad supporting Spurs, but you.
Needless to say, I don't speak to the Sharkies anymore.
And we fell out here this year, didn't? Was it this year? Old Song and Gomez. He didn't do that on purpose. The old Everton fans gave him a lot of stick over that.
Well, do you know what the thing with that was, mate? Gomez had just elbowed him, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So he was looking for a meaty tackle.
Yeah, not he chased him down for a tackle. Yeah, but he wasn't. I mean, I had a run in with one woman on Twitter, an Everton fan who wished him dead and stuff like that, and just thought you're taking this a bit too far. It was horrific. I mean, it was a horrific outcome, but there's no way that he was going. You know, I mean, you look at Roy Keane going in on Haaland.
Oh,
there was a man trying to break a leg. That was
and everyone forgets. Do you remember the Ben Thatcher one on Pedro Mendes?
Yeah, Ben Thatcher was a thug. He was another one. I mean, he's up there with my worst ever left backs in the Premier League. He was
horrendous. But yeah, it was the thing I always remember about the incident was everyone can't look at it, and Cenk Tosun must be the hardest man in football because he's just there holding his hand, looking at his leg.
I turn away from the TV when things like that happen. I think, oh, it looks horrific.
Not good, mate. Not good.
And obviously, lockdown, you're self-employed. Is Charlotte working?
Yes, so Charlotte, being a maths teacher, mate, she does their one day a week at the moment. On top of the 13 other weeks of holiday she gets, you know.
She showed her math skills at Lingfield, didn't she, on the seminar that day?
Mate, don't look for Christ, look for colours.
Brilliant. Still, what was it? Got my marking. 13 weeks of holiday, but I've got my marking. That's all they ever say, them teachers.
Oh, mate, honest to God. To be fair to her, she's quite organised, so she doesn't bring a lot of it home. So she's all right, mate. Yeah, they're doing okay at the moment. But yeah, lockdown, mate, it's like I say, you know, I'm not getting any money in, probably won't get any more money in for the next 5-6 weeks. But, mate, there's people in a million miles worse situation than we are. And so, yeah, just grateful, mate, just grateful everyone's had a healthy.
You have. I mean, I'm an optimistic person who has the odd flare up. But you have got a fantastic outlook on life. It's unbelievable. Absolute. Honestly, it's an absolute privilege to talk to you. You have got an amazing outlook. And we'll have a chat next week and get you going.
Yeah, that's amazing, mate. That's amazing. It just is what it is. You know, you've just, like you say, it doesn't define you. Nothing but who you are and your characteristics and your work rate and how you treat other people. They're the things that are important and define you.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's, as you say, I mean, I love when you come to the seminars just because I love you're a nice guy. But, you know, you going through that and you think, right, let's do it. Let's say I do a seminar 2022 and you turn up. There'll be other people who've been in that room when you've been in the other ones. And you sort of say, I haven't done anything. And you can see them going, that guy's here every fucking time. He's never done anything with it. What's he keep coming for? But when you look at the story of, you know, you admit you've learnt stuff, but when you look at the story of why you haven't moved forward, I don't think I've got an FTS member. I don't think I've got anyone that's got a reason not to have moved forward more than you have, because the stuff you've been through, particularly on the, you know, the childbirth side, it must just be, you know, we're having, I've just said to you, Jodie's been shipped back into hospital this morning. Yesterday we're up, oh great, today she's back in hospital. It's just horrendous. It's just horrific.
It is, and like just another thing on that, you know, one of the reasons why we're so lucky is that on the back of that we did like a big charity fundraiser thing like that, and you know we raised 20 grand for a charity that deals with bereavement, and all our friends came out, all our families came out, people were coming out of the woodwork, you know, to help, and it just gives you a good outlook on life, you know.
And I've got to pull you up on, why did you get married at Christmas?
Speak to the boss.
Yeah.
She'd always wanted to get married. She always wanted a Christmas wedding. I was just like, really? Are you missing Christmas wedding? And, mate, yeah, honestly, just, you know, one of them things where it's just like, I am not going to win this fight.
Having met Charlotte, I think you're probably right as well.
Crack on. But the one thing that we did do, we got married at a hotel in Liverpool, and they do decorations every year. So we managed to get, you know, and all the pictures, all the decorations and the lights in the background, which was nice.
Well, lovely. And you got that, as you say, you got that memory forever. Mate, I think we're done. That is absolutely fantastic. I genuinely cannot thank you enough
for discussing it. Not a problem. And listen, any of the members out there, if they want to get in touch, please, please do. You know what I mean? It's A, you're not alone. B, it doesn't define you. And it's just a period of time in your life. That's all. But I think for me, mate, to you, just thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for what you do. I'm sure everyone's very appreciative. But for me personally, mate, you're a diamond. You've helped me massively. And someday I'll be able to pay you back.
Don't worry about it. It's nice of you to say it. When this is over, I'm not sure I'll come to Liverpool, but we'll go Southport, something like that, and have a drink. You guys are more than welcome to come down anytime. You want to go to the football or whatever, you are, of course, you're more than welcome.
Mate, brilliant, I'll get the boss.
I'm worried about taking I really like Southport. I do really like Southport. I think it's a lovely place.
Yeah.
I'm worried about taking Sam there because she has this thing of, we should move here. We should move here. And I am not sure, it's one of them places I like to visit, I'm not sure I could cope with the accent 24/7.
Well, what? Don't tell her this, but the accent over there is slightly toned down from mine. But also, because Charlotte works in Southport, she deals with kids from all over, and there is like a rough side of Southport that we can just drive through, you know, just dispel that myth that it's a lovely place.
I've only ever been to the nice bit. There's got lovely golf up around there, obviously.
Oh, mate, golf's fabulous.
Burkdale, Southport and Ainsdale, all within close range, Lytham just down the road, all that's lovely. And I obviously had, that's where I had my dinner with Dalgleish and Hanson when I had a go at them. But I really like it. But living up north, I'm still not sure, son.
You'd make it. You'd survive. You'd survive.
I'm not sure. Sam, thank you ever so much for coming on.
Anytime, mate.
And I'll be in touch with you next week. We'll have a chat about a few other bits, but just for from FTS and the pod, absolutely brilliant. I can't thank you enough.
Mate, anytime, anytime. Great to see you, mate.
Cheers, mate, and you. Thanks ever so much.
Bye. Ta-ra, man. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, I mean, what I said there, I can't thank Sam enough for coming on, being very open, sharing that side of things. You know, it is, one, it's important for people to talk about things. I think that is the way you solve issues. And being somebody rants and raves, whilst I do flare up, I do tend to, if there's serious things, try and talk and find ways through them. And secondly, we're even on things like social media, as I keep saying, you just don't know what is going on in people's lives. And it's the old adage my mum said, if you've got nothing decent to say, don't say anything at all. And I read even members of FTS having a go at people, and particularly in the gambling community, always looking for, people always seem to be looking in this day and age to have a reason to slag somebody off as opposed to be nice. And I think we've got a great community. I think what Sam said there, I think over the last few years, it's come on immensely. I think I've got better at what I do and provide. I've probably had a period in the sort of 2010s where I lost a little bit of interest in that side of it and a bit of motivation. I'm very motivated in it now to try and get across what I do to more people in a way that they can make it work, bearing in mind they, you know, what I said, they got to start. So I do think overall, you know, the interaction, I'm somebody, I like banter, you know, when you're stuck in, particularly this time, but I'm stuck indoors pretty much 7 days a week, lockdown or no lockdown. Twitter and things, for me, it's no marketing tool. It's done as a bit of banter. Half the stuff I post on there, I am well aware, is absolute, complete and utter twaddle. As is half the stuff in some of the WhatsApp groups I'm in. But I'd miss it because it just gives you a bit of interaction with people. You do obviously pick up snippets of interesting info and get sent somewhere. But for me, it's about the banter and building up. And FTS in general, whilst I moan about the state of society, I think you see from the guys we've had on so far, and girls in Kelly, just decent people, even in this short time that my Sam's been coming on the pod and she gave her email out. She's had some really nice emails, just really nice emails that, you know, it means a lot to her just to get a couple of emails and read them. It just means a lot to her. So can't thank him enough. Absolutely brilliant. Next week we're going north again. We're going to Newcastle for Brian Brewis. I think Sam's accent's all right. Next week, Sam Cassidy's. Next week, it could be real trouble trying to understand a bit of Geordie, and perhaps we'll know more about the Saudi Arabians. I see the fiance of the guy that was killed, Khashoggi. I don't know whether that's the right pronunciation, but the one that was killed in the Turkish embassy and dismembered, apparently, I think she has urged the Premier League to turn it down, saying that it is not a regime that the Premier League should be giving any credence to. So, interesting to see what happens there with Newcastle. Right, let's do some other bits. As I say, I hope you enjoyed that. Let's do a recipe first. Let's do a fact. See, I like these facts. I like to educate you all. A famous date that we all recognise, if you're English in particular, Battle of Hastings, when William the Conqueror and Harold, but it wasn't actually fought in Hastings. It was fought in a place called Battle, which is about 6 or 7 miles from Hastings. And the only reason that they called it the Battle of Hastings was because the Battle of Battle sounded ridiculous. So it's actually nothing to do with Hastings. It was the Battle of Battle, 1066. But it was just such a bad name that they changed it to the Battle of Hastings because that was nearest. Slightly ridiculous, really, isn't it? But that is a fact. There you go. Facts of the day. Book of the day. I haven't read this. I'm getting to the stage genuinely where I'm drying up on. There's books I have read, but, you know, I think, are they worthy of giving out? As somebody said, there is only so many self-help books and things you read, and I'm not a great one. There's not many really good gambling books. There really isn't. You know, you go and you Google on or go on Amazon and put betting books in, and most of it is complete and utter claptrap. I like to know how good bettors think and work, their mind works, as opposed to necessarily exactly what they're doing. And I always maintain with you guys starting out, I think you've got to learn to manage yourself before you even think of theory. So I am more into that sort of self-help, doing things the right way from the start, as opposed to, I think, picking up a book on, I don't know, whatever it may be, Excel modelling or understanding full numbers. Whilst that will help down the line, I think if you've not got the mind for it right first and that side set up, you're going to struggle with the rest. You've got to have goals, you've got to have aims, you've got to know exactly what you're going to do before you start applying any theory, really. So that, for me, and you know, there'll be others who come up, there's just not many really good gambling books. So people sort of say, haven't you got any more? I've not really found any where I go, that's great. I think most of the books I've given you that have got a gambling tilt to them are the ones that I've pretty much read and done. But this one is a recommendation. I do, Lord Dio, I mentioned him a lot on this pod. Don't know the guy, only through Twitter and emails, but I think he's a switched on guy. And he said this is a really good book, and I've put it on my list to read. So I'm going to put this forward. I'll probably read it sometime over the next couple of weeks when I've finished reading the one I'm reading at the minute. It's called The Perfect Bet, Taking the Luck Out of Gambling. The catch line on Amazon is how science and maths are taking the luck out of gambling. It's by a guy called Adam Kucharski. £3.50 on Kindle. As I say, I've not read it, but apparently looks really good. So that is one I'll be reading, and I'm giving you that recommendation on the recommendation of somebody who, Lord Dio, who I can trust to not lead us down a blind alley. So The Perfect Bet by How Science and Maths Are Taking the Luck Out of Gambling by Adam Kucharski is the book of the day. Recipe, I'm going to give you a quick recipe. 15 minutes this is absolutely lovely. 15 minutes some spicy chicken. 15 minutes spicy chicken. It's simple, so easy to make. You want some boneless chicken thighs, salt and pepper, some corn flour, about 2 or 3 tablespoons of corn flour, some olive oil just to cook the chicken in. I always tend to use olive oil. I'm not a big vegetable oil man. And then to make the sauce, you want 5 tablespoons of rice vinegar. You can buy that in the supermarket. 3 tablespoons of soy sauce. 1 tablespoon of sriracha sauce or sambal olek, which is another, it's a sort of spicy paste, but sriracha sauce will do. 2 tablespoons of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil, and then some spring onions and some sesame seeds. You basically just heat the pan first. So heat a frying pan, skillet, whatever you've got on the stovetop, medium heat. Heat that first. While it's heating, chop the chicken. Don't put the oil in it yet. While it's cut the chicken into small sort of bite-sized pieces, you know, literally centimetre squared, centimetre and a half squared, and place them into a bowl, season them with salt and pepper and the corn flour and give them a really good toss in the corn flour. Then on your hot pan, put the oil in, leave it literally for about 30 seconds just to warm the oil through. And then add all your chicken. Try and get it spread out across the base of the pan, not on top, because you want to leave it. Again, it's not one of these dishes you want to keep turning it. Leave it, let it brown after about a minute, then toss it over. Let that side brown for another minute, then toss it over, so that you're getting a nice golden even colour to all the chicken. Stirring it too much, you're not giving it a chance to go brown. Put it in the pan, leave it, minute, turn it over, minute. And then, literally, when that's cooked, the sauce, literally just put it all in a bowl, stir it up. So the rice vinegar, the soy sauce, the sriracha sauce, 2 tablespoons of honey and a bit of sesame oil, 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil, 2 tablespoons of honey, tablespoon of sriracha sauce, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 5 tablespoons of rice wine vinegar. Literally mix all that together, pour it in the pan, turn the heat down a bit, just bring it to a simmer. toss the chicken occasionally, and the sauce with the corn flour on it, the sauce will thicken up, and that just coats the chicken. Literally serve that in a, put it in a bowl, chop up some spring onions, slice them, that on top, sesame seeds on top, put that in a bowl in the middle of the table, serve it with some pak choi, some fried peppers. Absolutely beautiful. It is really nice, really tasty chicken. Make sure you don't use breast, use the thigh. Rubbish with breast. Goes all dry and horrible. But chicken thighs, lovely. Quite spicy, obviously. If you want more spice, put more sriracha sauce in. Literally take your 5-10 minutes to cook in. The pak choi, you can either fry quickly or you can just put it in a steamer with anything. You can have green beans, whatever you want, just some green veg with it. I do like just to fry up some peppers and have with it on the side. So there you go. That's 15 minutes spicy chicken. We've done the book, we've done the joke. What else have we got? We've got all stat. Somebody asked me about the can I do more racing. One of the reasons why I backed off the racing, I thought you're going to get into the realms of doing flat racing, and obviously we don't know when things are start. I was really waiting for to get a start date for things. I mean, even the football now, France has called off, everything being so up in the air. But I thought it's pointless just reading off a load of flat stats. And then actually we don't get any flat racing to April next year. You know, that's when the flat season would start next year. Got to say that this flat season looks in all sorts of doubt. Whether they are going to do any, I don't know. So that was why. So I am happy to do more racing. But racing is one of those things that it's a lot more fluid than football. I said yesterday, football's very predictable. You know, Harry Kane plays for 10-12 years. Horses only run for a couple of years, and then another batch come along, and another batch come along. So I really was just waiting. I thought we'll do some all weather, because when racing starts, there definitely will be all weather, and there will be jumps racing, I would think, by the time we get to winter. And that was why I'd done the stats on racing around that. I will try and look, but somebody has actually emailed me in, which is a new twist on this. Dave Abbott has emailed me in a exact criteria that he wants me to look at and talk about. I'm perfectly open to that. So if people want something particular looked at, feel free to email me in, as long as you don't mind everybody on the pod hearing it. If it's you think it's going to be life-changing and you want to keep it yourself, don't send it in. But like, David has given me some exact parameters that he wants me to put through my databases and let him know. David, I'm going to use that as a stat of the day tomorrow, because I only remembered your email after I'd started this morning. So I've left that open, and I will put your stat of the day up tomorrow. But we are led to believe that Poland is going to be starting next month. So I'm going to give you a Poland-only stat. Polish extra classer, the last 3 years, if you've got an odds on favourite, so less than two on Betfair, these are 5 minutes before kickoff. Lay the draw is very consistent. You'd have had 205 bets, 32 points laying the draw, and 18 points back in over 2.5. Obviously, if you get more goals, there's less likely to be a draw, because that's how it works. The more goals you have, the more score lines it brings in that aren't a draw. So odds on home favourites, under two, laying the draw, and the average price, again, just for so you know what roughly your liability would be, is just over 4.19, so you'd be risking on average 3 points. You know, sometimes it's 5.2, sometimes it's 3.6, but on average you're risking 3 points, and backing overs is round about 1.95 average, so, and that makes 18, so you've got 50 points there, just off the bat, odds on favourites in Poland. Again, just a way to look at it, things you can do with. Have a look at other leagues, how does it pan across, all these sorts of things. As I say, it's just stats. I'm not necessarily sitting here saying do this, do that. I'm trying to give you ways to look at data and different ways. So we've done Poland just because I know that there's a fair chance that we will have some Polish football. That's it. I think I'm done. I think I've got all that I need to do. Enjoyed enjoyed last night at a webinar. I got completely and utterly involved in sheets. I think I might have bamboozled a couple. But I just love talking about this stuff, even whatever it is now. And I'm not going to say I'm missing it, because I genuinely haven't been. I've missed the punting side, but my routine of getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock, running the FDD sheets and thing, I'm not going to say I've missed it. But using all the sheets last night, getting out, and I in effect backtracked as if I was on a day in January, I actually really enjoyed it. I got completely and utterly into it. So if those of you that were there, I did bamboozle you, I apologise. You have got it recorded, have a watch. Love it, I love the game. 13 years on, absolutely love it. Right, 14, I think 14, no, 13 this year, 14 years FTS next year, when I'm 50. I'd like to say Sammy's back tomorrow, but I don't know with what's gone on, because I literally got that news as I was going to speak to Sam Cassidy, so obviously we're going to wait and see what happens over there. But crack on, and hope you enjoy the talk with Sam. It's probably about things that are a little bit uncomfortable in some places, but I think it was fantastic, and I do absolutely love them as a couple, and I mean that. They are fantastic people. I mean, I keep saying fantastic people on FTS. He is just a lovely guy, and Charlotte, his wife, is I know some of you met her at Lingfield the year she came. She's just absolutely cracking. Great, great people. So wish them nothing but the best forward. So it was so pleased when they had their baby. My Sam actually knitted them a blanket and sent up a baby blanket. We were absolutely ecstatic for them. So I'm just so appreciative of him giving up his time to come on this morning. Fair play, didn't have anything else to do, did he? But there we go. Right, enjoy your Wednesday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.